From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. Each spring, hundreds of millions of birds fly north through the Midwest to breed in Canada. But light pollution leads many of them to their deaths.
It's not a building that I think anybody would predict would be a major bird killer, but it is right on the lake and has a massive amount of glass.
We learn how one building proves the ways we can protect birds, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Last night's municipal elections proved to be good for incumbent Metro East mayors, except in Belleville. Mayor Patty Gregory lost re-election to Belleville City Clerk Jenny Gain-Meyer, who got 63% of the vote. In Alton, Mayor David Goins won a second term in a three-way race. He beat a former mayor and alderman, earning 40% of the vote. The incumbent mayors in Cahokia Heights and Granite City and the village president in Godfrey also won last night. Up north, though, it was another story in Quincy, where Linda Moore defeated incumbent mayor Mike Trope. A contentious Metro East Library Board that's been controlled by conservatives the past 2 years will maintain that majority. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports 4 of the board's 7 seats will remain with conservative-leaning members after last night's election.
The Mississippi Valley Library District serves a population of roughly 34,000 in Collinsville and Fairmont City. A conservative majority won control of the board in 2023 after the Collinsville branch hosted a virtual drag queen story hour. Since, the meetings have been contentious. Incumbent Kathy Murphy won another 2-year term. She says the results show the district supported her common sense approach.
I guess they also like the direction that the library has been going with the funding and you know, somewhat more of a balance.
The board's next meeting is scheduled for April 21st. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The former director of finance for a local charity supporting disabled adults has admitted to embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from the nonprofit over the course of a decade. Joelle Fousset pleaded guilty yesterday to 3 counts of wire fraud. She used her role at Promise Community Homes to divert nearly $700,000 to her personal expenses, including rent and travel. She then falsified the agency's records to cover up the theft. Fousset will be sentenced in July. Planned Parenthood affiliates in Kansas City and St. Louis are suing the state of Missouri. STLPR Sarah Fenton reports they're seeking to remove the new Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services regulations for clinics offering medication abortions in the state.
Even though abortion's now legal in Missouri, clinics here have not begun offering medication-assisted abortions. The state health department still requires clinics to submit a complication plan, which outlines what will happen if a medication abortion patient has a medical emergency. Planned Parenthood's motion says clinics submitted complication plans in February. Shortly after, the state issued a long list of what the plans should include. After that, the state rejected the clinic's proposals. Planned Parenthood contends these new regulations resemble rules a judge has already shown to violate Missourians' right to an abortion. Voters approved a constitutional amendment in November that protects access to the procedure. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has given initial approval to an almost $48 billion budget. Members advanced 13 budget bills, which must be voted out of the House before they are worked on in the Senate. The House budget is roughly $2 billion less than what Governor Mike Kehoe requested. House Budget Chair Dirk Deaton spoke on the expenses and highlighted what the legislature is not spending.
We're leaving nearly $2 billion, over $1.9 billion, on the bottom line to help us weather the storm, the fiscal challenges of the coming years.
A point of contention between Democrats and Republicans is the K-12 education funding formula. The budget includes about $300 million less than what the state's education department had asked for. Missouri could lose 24,000 jobs and more than $2 billion from its economy if the U.S. House of Representatives strikes $1 trillion in funding from social service programs. The cuts are aimed at Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly known as food stamps. A study released this week by the Commonwealth Fund estimates Missouri's job losses would be just part of around 1.3 million jobs lost nationwide. Dr. Leighton Koo is the lead researcher on the study and a professor of health policy at George Washington University. He says these cuts won't just impact low-income families. That's because Medicaid and SNAP funding goes directly to local and state governments, plus grocery stores, healthcare facilities, and other organizations that provide services.
They have to sort of lay off some staff. In addition, they can't buy things, so grocery stores need to go buy food from wholesalers and food producers. Hospitals need to buy medical equipment, pay for their rent and medications. So there are losses that trickle throughout the economy.
Koo says Missouri is one of the states that would be hardest hit by the proposed changes. The study estimates Illinois could lose over 27,000 jobs and hundreds of millions in tax revenue. The House of Representatives has yet to approve the budget resolution and has until September 30th to make a final decision. Thousands of trees will no longer be planted in the St. Louis area. That's after the federal government cut nearly $5 million in grant funding to the Arbor Day Foundation, which the Trump administration says is part of an effort to end federal DEI programs. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, one group that had its funding cut says the lack of trees can be burdensome for communities of color.
The Arbor Day Foundation's Community Roots program supported forestry efforts in underserved communities. The funding would have allowed Forest Relief of Missouri to expand its programming and plant thousands of free trees statewide. Rebecca Hankins is the organization's partnership manager. She says many communities of color suffer from air pollution and extreme heat because they lack tree canopies.
While trees are not the number one problem to solve in communities that are already struggling, but somehow trees are so necessary to anchor the community.
Hankins says the group is asking the community to help with its statewide forestry efforts. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Buildings and light pollution will take a heavy toll on migrating birds this spring, particularly in the middle of the continent. But one especially deadly building in Chicago offers lessons on how Midwest residents can help more birds survive the journey. Harvest Public Media contributor Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
In 1978, David Willard was working at the Field Museum in Chicago when someone mentioned to him that birds kept slamming into the city's lakeside convention center, McCormick Place.
And it piqued my interest.
So he started checking for dead birds and realized McCormick was killing a lot of them.
It's not a building that I think anybody, when it was built, would predict would be a major bird killer.
It's not that tall, about 3 stories, he says, where the migrating birds tend to strike it in the spring and fall while flying along Lake Michigan.
But it is right on the lake and has a massive amount of glass.
Over the next 40 years, Willard and others from the Field Museum collected 40,000 birds there. They noted how many died when the building's lights were on versus off.
When lights were out, it was a dramatic reduction in the numbers that would be killed.
Most migrating birds fly in the dark, and it has been known for decades that artificial lights confuse them. But the research at McCormick quantifies the problem. When the building's windows were all lit up, bird deaths rose tenfold compared to when just half the windows were lit up. Countrywide, the latest estimates suggest that 1 billion birds die annually by colliding with human-made structures.
And so that's like a bird every 30 seconds.
Andrew Farnsworth is a visiting scientist at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Cornell research shows that as spring gets underway, 7 of the country's top 10 riskiest cities for migrating birds are in the middle of the country, like Dallas, Kansas City, and Chicago. Farnsworth says these cities lie along one of the most important migration corridors on the planet.
There is an incredible, tailwind scenario because of the way the Gulf of Mexico is positioned.
So light pollution on this route is especially problematic. Many confused birds slam into lit buildings. Others land in bright cities and wait for daytime. Many of these then hit windows because they see reflections of the sky or greenery. But buildings can be made safer for birds. Take McCormick Place in Chicago. Here's Willard again.
In the past, we would watch them fly straight into the window and drop.
But now,
we'd watch them fly in and veer.
Last summer, McCormick installed clear film with white dots every few inches at a cost of $1.2 million to cover two football fields worth of windows. When the next fall migration came, researchers found just 18 birds hit the treated glass, a 95% decrease. Willard is eager to see if this trend holds up in the spring. There are other ways to help, too. Shutting off nighttime facade lighting and unneeded office lights during peak migration season. These lights out programs are growing in the middle of the country. And Farnsworth at Cornell says you do not need to own a big building to help.
The notion that the problem is just in cities is wrong. Your kitchen window, your living room window, your glass door, whatever it is when you walk outside and you find a dead bird beneath glass, you can address that.
For example, by turning off extra lights at home or drawing your curtains at night or treating your windows. How to get started?
Frankly, the easiest thing, visiting American Bird Conservancy's website.
abcbirds.org. It explains lots of options. Good old window screens, subtle vertical cords, translucent tape stripes. These all help birds see glass and know it's a solid thing they should not approach. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
That story was produced as part of the podcast Up From Dust from the Kansas News Service. And by the way, if you've ever seen the home of St. Louis Public Radio at Grand Center, you may have noticed the dash stickers covering big stretches of the glass facade here. That's our way of making the building more bird safe. A staff-led and supporter-funded effort from a few years ago led to a collaboration with the Audubon Center at Riverlands to install the strike prevention stickers. It's literally saving lives, and it looks pretty cool too. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.